What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 221st episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I am your host, SBJ. And what a week it's been. Such a week that we're recording on a Friday night. Mostly because Travis is not able to record this weekend. And Travis is here.
That's true. I'm starting to worry about myself, Steve, because this running joke of correcting myself on the show about 10 minutes after I make the mistake, after I look something up on Bulbapedia, has gone a little too far, and I'll explain why. I got a notification on our Slack channel today, the Slack channel that Patreon patrons have access to, from one of our patrons saying, "Hey, look at my look at my competitive team and see if you have any suggestions." And then I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll look at that tonight." And shout out to Joe. I won't give out his last name in case he doesn't want it, but shout out to Joe on our Patreon chat, on our Slack chat. I was like, "Yeah, I'll look at this later tonight." And then he said, "Travis, are you responding to my message about my Sun team that I sent like 3 months ago?" And it turns out that yes, I was, because he sent that in November. But I swear I just got the Slack notification an hour ago.
I will say, though, I've seen your little bubble lit up on Slack a lot more this past week.
That's true.
And I don't know if it's because like you finally have indulged yourself or it's because of all the E3 news has brought you there.
It took me a while for it to become just one of those tabs that I have open.
Okay.
It took a while to cement itself in the canon of tabs that I always have open along with TweetDeck and Facebook and
sure
sort of thing.
All right. Well, we have Will here, who is probably more active on Slack than I am.
Probably, yeah, because I stay on Slack to avoid my job, which makes me miserable. So it's
Slack or your job?
My job.
Okay. Woo.
But I'm really concerned and disturbed because now, from what I've just heard, I think Travis is trying to steal my BFF Joe.
Or do we only have one Joe from Slack?
We only have one Joe on Slack who does competitive battling.
Well, here's the thing. I'm clearly not doing a good job of it, given that it takes me 3 months to respond when he sends me a message. So, like, I'm not. Don't worry. I am no threat, I promise.
Here's the real thing. You don't know what Joe is into. And those late replies, that's what he's into.
I respect you keeping character, though, Travis, outside of ISE and inside of ISE.
I can't be anything but me.
Can't be anything but me. This is a Pokemon podcast, but we don't like to talk about Pokemon for the first couple minutes. So instead, Will, how was your week? How was your E3 week?
Well, I mean, I've had very little E3 because I have a job, and all of those tree houses of terror were like during work hours. So,
which is the best place to watch and ignore work?
Well, except that I share an office with another person who is not supportive of a 43-year-old man playing video games. So she's quite critical if I put on the YouTubes to watch a little bit of footage every now and then. So I do like to avoid that type of criticism. And I had meetings, like legit meetings that I had to be at to talk about money and technology and all those boring, boring things that we get to
Welcome
do for
to
adults.
Bureaucast, the number one podcast for university bureaucracy. I'm your host.
Hey, two of us work in higher education. We could do
That's
it.
True. Yeah. God, who would the audience for that be?
Who subscribes to the Chronicle of Higher Education? We will target those people first.
All right, we'll set a Facebook ad budget for $20. We will target these people in Washington, D.C. and in Michigan between the age range of 18 to 35.
No. We got national appeal. Our higher education issues are widespread.
We might have to increase the budget then. Was there anything that you did catch, Will, that caught your eye or eyes?
Pokemon or non-Pokemon
related? Let's do non-Pokemon because we have a surprisingly big amount of news to cover.
That is true.
So let's do non-Pokemon.
That's hard to say because I really used my unlimited amount of attention that I could give to E3 to Pokemon stuff. I heard that my recently acquired Xbox One is probably already out of date and going to need to be replaced. And I think the PS4 is getting a replacement device too. But yeah, otherwise, like, nothing I've seen or outside of the Pokemon stuff got me too excited. I mean, I'm already excited for Monster Hunter. So
July 15th.
Yes, I am literally counting the days. But otherwise, no.
All right.
Nothing's grabbed me yet.
Question to Travis then. How was your E3 week?
Get out your boomsticks, cause zombies are back! We got zombies in a mall again for the fourth time. We've got zombies kind of in, I think, the Pacific Northwest is where that one game was. We've got Resident Evil, but this time it's more like Silent Hill. And I think there was a fourth one, too.
It probably was.
Zombies are back and deader than ever. I think.
Oh, God, that was the worst pun.
I think that the two things that I'll say three things that made me most interested. The first is the fact that the game about the giant doggy thing, the Last Guardian.
Last Guardian, yep.
Which has been in development since
7 years, I think.
Is that by the makers of Ico and
Shadow of the Colossus?
Yep. Yeah, that's. I mean, I played Ico. That's a good game.
Yeah, Ico's very good. I haven't played Shadow of the Colossus, but I played Ico. The fact that it has a release date. I mean, just that is. Not that I was particularly excited about the game from the beginning. I mean, I was because I know those developers are really good, but I'm always curious to see a long development cycle finally complete. So that's kind of interesting to see.
Oh, hey, is No Man's Sky coming out?
August 8th, I think. They just delayed it by like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I want to get that too. But the second thing was the new game from the people who did. I always at first think it's called Purple Rain, Heavy Rain, and Indigo Prophecy. I get Indigo and Heavy Rain mixed up, but Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain, which is Detroit Become Human, I think is what the subtitle is. But I have a love-hate relationship with obvious metaphors that involve androids. I really like Blade Runner. Great movie. Although I hate the monologue at the end about tears and rain that everyone loves. So that's
It depends on which version you watch.
Well, yeah, I've seen the director's cut and the whatever the other one is, the final cut or whatever, both of those. I have not seen the theatrical cut because why would I want to see that? But anyway, and then the third thing is that I'm actually excited that a Legend of Zelda game actually looks interesting for once, because all of those games are trash and terrible except for
it's
an Oracle of Ages, and Link's Awakening is good too, but this one looks like, I don't know, Skyrim or something, so I'd play it.
I was gonna say it looks like The Witcher 3. I think Zelda looks real good for what I saw, and I purposely kind of turned it off after a couple minutes, because at that point I'm either going to get the game or not get the game, and I decided that this game looks good enough to buy and I don't need anything really spoiled. Although from what I heard, though, they didn't show that much. They kind of just showed the same area. Anyways,
yeah, there's some gameplay.
Are you getting
I'm
it
just
on,
remembering that I don't have any like current gen consoles, so that's fun.
Are you going to get it on Wii U or NX?
NX.
Okay.
The Wii U, it's done.
Yeah, so it's hilarious, Travis, that you say that, is we are re-architecting our wireless network at Georgetown.
So you just have like a ton of Wii Us you can give me? Like,
no,
where is this going?
No. I wish.
It's all powered by PS4s and they're moving them out.
No, but so we're literally doing one so that we can actually support wireless gaming, which we currently can't on our wireless networks. And but like I'm talking to all the folks who are doing the design and stuff, and then I was like, I have every possible modern console and handheld system. And I was like, how did I get to this point in my life that I literally have all of them? I have the Vita, I have the 3DS, I have the PS4, I have the Xbox One, and I have the Wii U.
It's because you have more money than time.
No.
What, like, moment of weakness did you buy a PS Vita?
When I was heavy into Destiny and wanted to be able to do remote play.
I was under that same bandwagon, and then I sold my Vita.
And now I just use my Vita to play Persona 4 Golden, except I only play it like for an hour and get frustrated with it and turn it off.
That's why it's called Persona 4, because you play it for an hour.
Yes, yes. And then
Have you seen that video? Well, first, there's a... God, I haven't watched the show. I stopped watching House of Cards after the first episode of season 2 because I was like, "Yeah, I get it." but there's a scene in season 1 of House of Cards where Kevin Spacey's character comes in to visit the bald guy. I forget what his name is, but the guy with the shaved head who's like a senator. And it's clear they've already had PlayStation product placement, but then there's just a PS Vita sitting on his counter, and they completely break the conversation about the seedy underbelly of politics, and Frank Underwood just says, "Is that a PS Vita?" And then the other guy goes, "Yeah, that's my son's. What games does he have? All of them." Ooh, I got a console back home, but I could really use one of these for the car. And there's someone made a video. I think the channel name is like Cool Vids by Sean or something like that. But the that particular video is called like House of Cards Season 1 Episode Whatever Recap. And it's just that scene. And then the credits roll. It's so brilliant.
Well, what's unfortunate for me is, like, I really like the Vita hardware, and I like the screen and everything. It's just there's nothing for it. Well, I guess you can get, like, old PlayStation games to play through it and stuff like that, but any new content, not so much.
Yeah.
So I feel about my Atari Lynx. I think it's the second time in, like, a month I've made an Atari Lynx joke.
You are correct.
Speaking of new content, I will say that the one thing that kind of stood out to me at E3 that I didn't like, I figured it was going to be there, and when they started playing the music and Kratos stepped into the screen, I was like, oh my god, God of War, I don't want this.
And you were making fun of me for playing God of War 2 months ago.
Yeah, God of War is terrible. Like, the first three games are not good.
That is not terrible. I was going after that Hydra.
You just press square for 4 hours or however long that game takes, and then you're done.
Well, you know, some people get their jollies pressing square.
I hear you. But after the end of that trailer, that God of War game looks real good. So that stood out to me. Legend of Zelda looked good. The Pokemon stuff.
The guy from God of War just looks like he's from a Blind Guardian album cover, right?
His name is Kratos.
Kratos, yeah. He's a very one-dimensional character in the first three, but they're trying to add some character development in this game from what the developers said.
He's got the only dimensions that matter, which are
a beard and a sun.
Huge muscles and slayability.
Slayability.
I was going to go for a beard and a sun, because he has those two things now.
Yeah, he has those two things now.
I prefer to date gentlemen without children, so that's actually a detriment.
All right.
A beard and a sun. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so there's some other stuff at E3 that I really enjoyed, and I'm looking forward to Monster Hunter. I'm looking forward to a couple other games they showed. Obviously, there's some Destiny stuff that's coming in September that I'm excited for. But other than that, there was some Pokemon stuff that happened, and boy, was there's some Pokemon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the stuff that didn't show up at E3. You guys have heard of the I-Square. Located somewhere in China.
Hong Kong,
to be specific.
Yeah.
Well, the Hong Kong Video Game National Championships have a date. They've been dotted on July 3rd. Nintendo Hong Kong has announced the 2016 Pokemon World Championships for Hong Kong National Championships will be held on July 3rd. Details for the tournament have been privately sent to participants. Participants will also receive a souvenir and a code for a shiny Mewtwo with the hidden ability Unnerve. Registration for the tournament is free, but only limited to the first 106 participants. Those who register after 106 will be put on a waiting list. In the event the participants are unable to attend, registrants on the waiting list will be given an opportunity to partake. I feel like for China, 106 is real tiny given their size and population.
Well, but once again, it's Hong Kong, and how many Pokemon players are in Hong Kong? VGC.
I think a lot.
Well, yeah, I would assume. Well, I mean, this is, well, how would
Hong Kong is really densely populated.
How did they get the game prior to, like, no Pokemon game up to this point has been in Chinese.
So there you go. Although there are a lot of English speakers in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, they, I can't remember if most, cause it wasn't there that list that was going around, that like Bulbapedia article that was going around for like Pokemon names translated into Chinese, or was that just for the anime or something? I don't know. But anyway, like, a lot of those localizations get spread to like nearby countries, regardless of if it's the language that's spoken there. Like, they could probably play, most of them could probably play the English version. Heck, I played the English version of Pokemon before I could read. So,
well,
not that not knowing English equates to illiteracy. That's not what I mean to imply.
I'll put it this way. Nobody wants 12 hours of Swiss rounds. So their organizers were more reasonable than
That's
American
fair.
Organizers.
That's
and
fair.
They're like, 106 people. That's like 2 hours of Swiss, 3 hours of Swiss, and we'll be done. And
let's move on.
There you go.
We're very limited with the digital distribution of Mewtwo. We only have enough digital copies for 106 people. So after that, the data gets corrupt. If you guys like eShop games, there are some sales going on in Europe and Australia to promote the 5th anniversary of the Nintendo eShop. Pokédex 3D Pro, Pokémon Link Battle, and the Pokémon Trading Card Game are on sale in the eShop. I'm not sure when that is over. It looks like they will run until June 23rd. There we go. Also, if you live in North America or Canada, there's some games on sale for the eShop
here.
Which
includes Canada.
Oh, yeah. If you live in the United States or Canada,
well, so not actually, Mexico, though, which Mexico is part of North America.
Okay, so the United States and Canada, that's all I'm saying here for prices. Sorry, Mexico, my mistake. There are some Pokemon games on sale. Pokemon Rumble U is on sale for $10.97 American dollars. Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire on sale for $4.79. Pokemon Battle Troze, $4.79. The Pokemon Trading Card Game on sale for $3.59. What is... I don't understand the Canadian dollar. Maybe Travis can enlighten us from, you know, your vast knowledge of Canada, but...
What do you want to know about Canadian currency?
So you look at...
They call them loonies, which is a $1 coin. They also have a $2 coin, which they call toonies, because they think they're real clever up there. They've got, like, polar bears and hockey people on their money, and that is not a joke.
Oh, man. That sounds real cool. Okay.
It's made of plastic, and they're different sizes. Like, so the larger denominations are longer, so that if you're in your wallet, you can see, oh, that's a 20 because it's longer than the 10. That's kind of cool, I guess.
That's kind of cool. So my question is, you look at Pokemon Pinball, which is on sale for $4.79, and then Pokemon Battle Troze also on sale for $4.79, same exact price. But in Canada, Pokemon Pinball is $4.79, and Pokemon Battle Troze $6.77. Just randomly more expensive.
Yeah. That's weird. What about the other things? Are they more? I would assume they're more expensive than the American counterpart, the United States counterpart.
The trading card game is the same exact price in U.S. and Canada, and then Pokemon Rumble U, $10.79 in U.S., $15.23 in Canada. So two games are just.
It's weird that there are anything that's the same price because the Canadian dollar is not doing so well.
Yeah. So my guesstimation would be one of two things. One, the ones that say they're the same price aren't actually available in Canada, and they're just lying to us Americans to make us feel better and empathetic. Or that the ones that are more expensive have a French localization.
Oh, yeah, that could be it.
Yeah.
There's some other games on sale. I'll just run those down real quick.
Why are we talking about how much Pokemon Battle Troze count costs when there's a new Pokemon that looks like Pearl from Steven Universe, except it is a woodpecker.
No, all right, we'll get there. Steven Universe talk.
We'll get there. Slow down, Travis. We'll get there. All right, just some other games on sale. If you're the opposite of Travis and you like The Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker HD, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, the Minish Cap.
This isn't even Pokemon!
I'm just running down the sale. Buffering time. Majora's Mask 3D, Oracles of Ages, and Oracles of Season also on sale.
You know what? It's starting to feel like Majora's Mask because I feel like with the way we're using our time, it's almost like it'll just reset and it won't.
Here's the thing. Steve likes lists.
I love them.
So there you go. We got a list of things. Steve's going to read that list.
If some other games on sale that you should pick up. Is Box Boy. It is $2.99 on the eShop. Box Boy is real good. The other games, not so much. If you like Smash Brothers, that's on sale. And Splatoon, also on sale. But
what kind of a game is Box Boy?
It is a puzzle game, and you are a boy that is a... You're a box. You're a boy box called Box Boy.
Can I be a non-gendered box?
I don't know. Don't ask me these questions. They're difficult.
A person and their blob.
Box. There's a sequel to Box Boy that comes out, I think, June 30th, and it's called Box Boy. But Box Boy, the original, is only $3 on the eShop, and I recommend it to everyone. It's really, really good. I think it's made by the same people who made Kirby. I can't remember.
A laboratory?
Yeah, I think so. But don't quote me on that. I just know that Box Boy is enjoyable for any price, but $2.99 is a steal. All right, let's get to the big stuff.
Woo!
Box Boy. No, I'm just kidding.
I apologize for being really snarky at you, Steve. It was all in good fun.
It's Friday night.
Letting bets out of it. Friday night.
Friday night. All right. There was some Pokemon news. You guys want to start with the three new Pokemon?
I would love to.
All right. There are three new Pokemon?
Three new Pokemon.
Where have
Pokemon.
You been?
In a box,
we'll
boy.
We'll save the best one for last, and we'll start with the worst one.
I bet I'll disagree with you.
You probably will.
Okay.
Let's start with Grubbin.
Okay, Grubbin is definitely the second best one, so you're already wrong. Grubbin is awesome.
Grubbin is your Caterpie, your Weedle, your Buttface. What is that thing called?
Wasn't that Weedle?
No,
I can't remember.
Wurmple.
Buff. That is a PKM and cast throwback. Episode like 60 or something.
Yeah, throwback. Grubbin, real good name though.
Correct. That's why it's the second best one.
Did we get typing on Grubbin? I think it's just bug.
Yep. Whoa. And it's a little grub.
He's a little grub. What do we think Grubbin's going into?
Butterfly.
Travis? I was thinking a little uglier of a creature. Something like a moth. Moths can be pretty too, but I don't know. Something.
We got two moths already, though, don't we?
Something of the genus Lepidoptera or species.
I don't know what that is, but I sure.
Will, what's the hot bug in Hawaii right now? What's at the top of the chart? What's on top of the bug charts in Hawaii?
Huge cockroaches.
You can't say that word on the show.
Oop. I mean, a little more editing for me. You think it's going to be like a cockroach?
No. But I mean, that's just, there are just mega cockroaches in Hawaii.
That's gross.
It goes without saying. Not that familiar with Hawaiian bugs, but I think monarch butterflies go to Mexico. Yeah, I can't think of any. Nothing comes to mind that's like a special insect of Hawaii.
We do have just a pure bug type. We have like pincer and heracross. No, heracross is bug fighting, but pincer is just straight bug.
Correct. Although Mega Pinsir is bug flying with the ability Aerialate.
Dang. Well, Grubbin has a good name. I'll be curious to see what they evolve into. Second best Pokemon on the list. This is where there's going to be disagreements. Pikapek.
Pikapek is the best one. It looks like Pearl from Steven Universe.
That is a detriment, it's also not a plus.
Woodpeckers are the coolest kind of bird.
Are they? What about a hummingbird? Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, I think hummingbirds are much cooler.
Hummingbirds work way too hard.
Hawks?
They have to spend like 100% of their time just slurping down pure sugar.
Penguins?
Just so that because they want to like float there. Penguins hardly count.
As a bird? I mean, they are of bird species.
Yeah, but...
Hey, be careful, because penguins are my fursona.
What is that?
It's the animal that you...
relate to?
Closely identify with, yeah. Specifically in like, furry culture.
So when I saw Pikapek, I think it's weird. Maybe it's not weird.
Pikipek.
Pikipek?
Pikipek. P-I-K-I-P-E-K.
Pikipek.
I was saying it the same way Steve was.
Pikapek.
Pikipek.
No, there's no A in there.
Okay, because when I read Pikapek, is that what we're saying?
No, either Pikipek.
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 Pikipek. Pikipek.
Ah, I like that. Here you go. Pikipek.
Pikipek.
Pikipek to Pikipek of peppers.
Pikipek. I thought that's kind of close to Pikachu. The P-I-K, at least.
Yep.
And that's a little weird. Maybe that's kind of brand confusion, or you have a Pokemon as popular as Pikachu. You probably wouldn't want another Pokemon's name to be closely associated with that. But I could be wrong. I could just be overthinking that.
Yeah, that's why actually I say Pikipek, because that's not like Pika. It's not a P sound. It's a P sound first. Pikipek.
Pikipek. I guess that's all right.
Unless it turns into electric flying, and then all bets are off.
Then we're out the window. I think Pikapek falls under the normal flying.
Yeah, it's normal flying.
Has the abilities Keen Eye and Skill Link. Keen Eye is no accuracy loss, and Skill Link is like Cloyster.
Yes, except what that actually means is if it's a move that has multiple iterations, it will do the max number of iterations.
Rock Blast, for example, will always hit five times. Five times? Is that what Rock Blast the max is?
But yeah.
Icicle Spear will always hit five times.
So I think for Pikipek, it's probably Drill. What is it? Drill? Not
Horn Drill? No, not Horn Drill.
Wait, what is your question?
What is the
move that does it five times?
That a Pikipek would use.
Doesn't
a normal type? There's like Tail Slap. There's Fury Attack.
Fury Attack. That's probably it.
Pikipek is the woodpecker Pokemon. It is number 10 in the Pokedex, and it has the ability. It can learn the move Peck. This bird Pokemon can strike 16 times a second with its beak, which is strong enough to break stone. They drill holes and store food, and will store objects and that glitter in these holes as well. It has a height of 1 foot and a weight of 2.6 American pounds. And has two as of yet unrevealed evolutions. Bulbapedia here is confirming that the treehouse did say that it will evolve twice more, just like Pidgeot or Talonflame. That does twice, right?
Yes.
I don't remember its middle evolution at all.
Lechinder.
Oh, yeah. I forgot for the Grubbin is considered the larva Pokemon. It's a foot long, weighs 10 pounds. It is currently unknown.
That is terrifying.
That is also those huge things
like that actually exist, and that's scary.
Unknown if Grubbin can evolve. It has the ability Swarm. It can learn the move String Shot. It uses its jaw to burrow through the ground and is found by power plants due to its love of electricity.
Interesting.
I guess not 10-pound grubs, but there's some big grubs.
Big old grubs.
They're delicious.
So
powered by electricity, do you think it's going to evolve into being a lightning bug?
Oh.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Are there lightning bugs in Hawaii?
Not that I remember, no.
There's a lot in Wisconsin.
Also aren't, spoiler alert, like mongoose, are there?
What? Yes. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah, because it's the whole thing where they were introduced to kill the thing.
Wow.
I would, my guess for pick a peck.
But there certainly aren't koalas.
Right, yeah, that's fair, that's fair. My guess for pick a peck is that it will go into flying grass. I could be completely wrong. That's just the guess I'm making.
Why would you say that? Normal flying.
What?
Why would you say flying grass?
I just think of woodpeckers like beaten into blah, 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 into like tree sides of trees.
Yeah, because flying is super effective against grass.
All birds live in trees, and Rowlet is already flying grass.
Rowlet? Oh yeah, yeah. But you don't know if that's going to be
how soon they forget.
I know.
Wait, do you really want this bird to be normal flying?
No.
And, like, be along the lines of every other normal flying bird in the entire...
No, but we're realistic.
No, I'm not even realistic. Fletchling is normal flying and turns into fire flying.
Right.
So I don't want it to be grass flying, which is already taken. I want it to
You don't know that Rollet's going to stay grass flying.
That doesn't matter. We can have a little more creativity. We can have...
There's nothing wrong with two grass-flying birds, since right now we have zero?
Can we go back
to... I think that would be...
Well, except that we have Rowlet.
There's no way that they would do that, because there's no way that... Because this is obviously the bird that you find early on, and there's no way they would introduce a Pokemon with the same typing as Rowlet.
No, that's not true.
That's not till third evolution, though, because Talonflame doesn't get fire until round three.
Incorrect. Fletchinder isn't fire?
Fletchinder has fire type.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Let's go to that list of Pokemon types that have not been used.
Let me read the list.
And then find out which are the ones that have not been used for flying. And let's pick one of those so we can at least have hope for something interesting.
I just don't want normal flying.
And I will guarantee you will not have normal flying.
I'm holding you to that guarantee. Everyone write down 221. Let's get to the best Pokemon.
That number is going to make them magically remember something else.
Let's get to my boy of the hour.
Ugh.
Yungoos. Yungoos, the mongoose. Yo-yo Yungoos.
It's the worst one.
It is a gross boy. Also known as the Pokemon that Will Anderson predicted in a previous episode.
That you did. Let me run this down here. Yungoos is a normal Pokemon, and it is loitering Pokemon. It has a height of 2 feet. It weighs 13 pounds, and it has one as not revealed evolution. It has the ability Stakeout, which I believe is a new one, and Strong Jaw. Stakeout allows Yungoos to deal damage to a Pokemon that switch in mid-battle. It eats a lot of food since it is never satisfied. My kind of Pokemon. And its fangs are so strong that it can crush and eat very hard objects. Furthermore, it stalks its prey until it gets tired and then falls asleep on the route that is stalking its prey. It was not originally a native of the Alola region. And I think further into the Pokedex, it states that Yungoos was brought into the region to get rid of a different Pokemon.
That is correct.
I don't have that in front of me.
And
but
its next evolution will be Freudgoos.
Freud?
Freudgoos. You've got Yungoos and Freudgoos.
Although I would argue that Jung's ideas are more nuanced than our Freud, so it should be the other way around.
You gotta break this down for not only the listeners, but for me.
So, okay, we're talking about famous psychoanalysts, everybody's favorite Pokemon topic. Sigmund Freud, founder of psychoanalysis and very important figure in psychology, although there aren't a lot of psychoanalysts left because it's a largely discredited discipline. But anyway, Sigmund Freud, the guy who came up with the ideas of don't look these up, kids, Oedipus complex, although this one you can look up, the talking cure, I think is what he called it. But just essentially the idea that when you're a child, the things that happen to you, when you're a young child, the things that happen to you have a profound impact on your adult psychology.
What about the marshmallow test? They do that?
I have no idea what that is.
Is that the thing where like kids are like, if you stay here, you like, wait here, don't eat this marshmallow. I'll come back in 2 minutes and give you two marshmallows. Yeah. This is the bad thing. No, I don't think that's Jung or Freud.
That's a good test, though.
But Jung came a little bit after Freud, was, I think, contemporary with Freud.
Yes.
But his ideas were a little more almost spiritual in that he thought there was sort of a collective consciousness of these ideas that were across, that existed throughout all cultures and all people groups, that these same ideas came up, which is where we get the idea for literary archetypes, or at least one articulation of that idea, that there are certain archetypes that come up in storytelling, regardless of what, from what culture you are. That was Jung. And he also had a lot of other ideas, but that's the idea for which he's the most famous.
So to kill this joke completely to death, which was just a passing bit of humor on my part that we've now destroyed.
Steve told me to break it down.
I wanted it broken.
Number one, my social worker is primarily of the Freudian bent. So no, it is not a mostly discredited.
Really?
And yes, they don't do pure Freud, but they do an evolved modern version that stems from his ideas.
I apologize for my ignorance. It must have been something from my childhood.
Nobody does pure Freud anymore because he obviously just had cultural and social influences on his work that found to be irrelevant, right? He was anti-homosexual at a certain point in his career.
Yeah, there's like no, yeah, that he provides like no understanding of how you would come to your psychology if you are a woman or a not straight man.
Yes. So anyways,
like the only...
That's been removed and worked out of the system of psychoanalysis that those folks use. And for Jung, Carl Jung, one of his main things was the concept of having personas that you take on to present yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. And that is where the game persona comes from.
Oh.
It is a key source to the persona. So if you actually read all the texts that they give you in Persona for the Golden, it's about Carl Jung and his theories.
Okay. Some things I missed here. I've just pulled up the official press release that just had a sentence extra for all these Pokemon. I just wanted to run that down because, you know, everyone's been busy. They might not have read that. Pikapek can attack distant opponents by firing seeds with enough force to embed them into the trunks of trees. Yungoos has the majority of its long body is made up of its stomach. It is never satisfied due to its swift digestion. And then finally for Grubbin can spew sticky threads from its mouth and can wrap those threads around trees, enabling this Pokemon to swing around and become much more mobile. I want to remind everyone that this grub is 10 pounds.
Yeah. So Yungoos is going to turn into a poison type.
You think so?
Yeah. If it's got fast digestion, there's stuff coming out the other end real quick.
So Mongoose were brought to Hawaii to get rid of snakes?
Rats.
Rats. But are snakes scared of Mongoose or Mongoose scared of snakes?
I don't think they mind each other one way or the other.
No, they're like, they're definitely enemies.
Oh, because Zangoose and...
Yeah, I can't remember. Mongooses carry... Mongooses. A Quora article here say, mongooses carry an anti-venom to snakes such as cobras. Not an anti-venom per se, but their neurologic system has the ability not to be affected by venom. This is coupled with their incredible speed and reflexes that help them take down snakes. It does not really help for the snake that mongooses, they are the mongoose's prey as well. Hope that helps. Because somebody says, why are mongooses not afraid of snakes? So that's good to know that mongooses can't really be poisoned. Is there... Zangoose is just normal.
Correct.
But Zangoose can't be poisoned? Doesn't have an ability to prevent poison? Or am I wrong? No, when
guts.
It's poisoned, it has twice the amount of damage.
I don't think Guts gives twice. He has a damage doubling. I thought it was 1.5. But
essentially the
same thing if you're poisoned or burned. Or paralyzed, I think. But you wouldn't want to do that to your own Pokemon because you wouldn't want the slow from it. But yeah.
So Mongoose is your Pat Rat.
Oh, and it also has Toxic Boost as a hidden ability, which I didn't know. Oh, that's what it is. It doesn't have guts. It has Toxic Boost.
Okay.
Which is, while the Pokemon is poisoned, its attack is increased by 50%. And then its normal ability is Immunity, also related to that idea, which is just it prevents it from being afflicted by poison.
We know it's going to evolve once. It's the Rattata, it's the Pat Rat, it's the normal type Pokemon you encounter. In the treehouse, there was plenty of Yungoos on Route 1, which is the first route you get to. Yeah, I think it's... There's something about Yungoos when I saw it, just the design, how it's kind of cute, but also like has that feisty, angered look in it. I just really like it a lot. I like the design a lot. Not no disrespect to Pick-a-Peck. Good-looking bird, but it's no Yungoos.
Why don't you call that bird Peter Piper? It'll be much easier for you.
Pick-a-Peck.
I already made that joke.
Picky-Peck.
Picky-Peck. I stop saying Pick-a-Peck. Give me some credit here. I'm moving up. So what we'll do is we have plenty more news to share with you guys about what happened at E3, but we will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the new forms for the new legendary Pokemon and some Magearna stuff as well. And we are back from a break. There are some new forms for Solgaleo and Lunala, which have official art, but not that much was said. I have here the new forms of Solgaleo and Lunala. The legendary Pokemon that appear on the cover of Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon were also revealed. When releasing their mighty powers, these Pokemon will change in appearance. Solgaleo will transform into its radiant sun phase, and Lunala will transform into its full moon phase. That's pretty much it. That's all they revealed.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know much about it. It's essentially the same thing we knew last week, except now we have pictures of them that we can't show you because this is a podcast.
There's some Magearna stuff. The mythical Pokemon Magearna will be making its debut in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Magearna was created by scientists of uncommon genius 500 years ago, and it has the power to perceive emotions, thoughts, and feelings from other Pokemon. Stored in the center of Magearna's chest is the Soul Heart, an artificial life which was created using the life energy of other Pokemon. Magearna has the ability Soul Heart, a new ability that no other Pokemon has previously had. This ability raises Magearna's special attack by one each time another Pokemon in the arena faints.
So I imagine that means one stage.
Right. Travis,
that's what it looked
like. Do we have the verification that this is indeed a new ability?
There is nothing to my knowledge that works quite like that.
Okay.
The closest thing I can imagine, I think the closest comparison would be Moxie, which is an ability where whenever a Pokemon knocks another one out, it gets its physical attack raised by one stage. But there's nothing quite like what Magearna has, where it doesn't matter if it is KOing the thing, and it also is stick to whether the Pokemon that faints is on your side of the field or your opponent's.
Sounds very useful in a double battle.
Yeah, I wonder if it... Yeah, I don't quite know how it would work in single. I think in singles, it would basically just end up being like Moxie, but for special attack,
yeah,
is how I imagine, based on that wording. But yeah, doubles or triples or rotation, if it works that way. Or the Battle Royale would be really cool.
Yeah, or it would work really well in the That's Battle true. Royale. A new battle format, which debuts in Pokemon Sun and Moon, was also revealed. In previous games in the Pokemon franchise, battles have generally been trainers facing off against each other one-on-one. Battle Royale is a new battle system where four players can battle against each other at the same time in a furious melee. That's what it says. Each of the four trainers in the battle chooses three Pokemon and sends out one Pokemon at a time in battle. The battle finishes at the end of any turn where all Pokemon of one trainer have fainted. The players are then ranked, and a victor is declared based on the number of Pokemon each trainer defeated and the number of Pokemon each has remaining in play. This is a completely new way to enjoy Pokemon battles, and many interesting strategies will be discovered as each player must try to predict who will attack whom or choose whether to act to save a player in a pinch in order to claim the number one position before the battle ends.
I was going to say, this is similar to what was described by that one Kickstarter backer, because I remember I played, I can't remember what he called it, where you do the 2v2 battle, and it's four people, but it's like...
It might have even just been called Battle Royale. I think that's what the person called it.
Maybe. All right. So now it's legit. And
Dallas when
I don't know who said it, but I remember
Dallas, like Dallas the Deals.
I don't think it was Dallas because it wasn't one that I was on.
I remember going to League back when I first got into the trading card game, and somebody was like, "Oh, let's do a 4-person battle, but don't worry about like everyone. You can knock out your partner or whatever." Like, this concept has been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making it official. I do think it's interesting.
Free for all, they might have called it.
Yeah, free for all. I do think it's interesting that there's like points and there's a reason. It seems like there's a reason not to attack somebody or to maybe use a ability or a move on your opponent to benefit them or not to, like.
Yeah, because like the key is that the battle ends when one person loses all of their Pokemon. So even though there's three other people there, one person just has to be taken out, and that's when the battle's over. So like if one of your other opponents is the only person that's taken out all of that person's Pokemon, you don't want that person to then lose, because then battle's over. You haven't taken out any Pokemon, and that one other person took out like 4 or 6
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it.
You give them a boost, and then you start focusing on somebody else so that you can get some knockouts under your belt.
And you would hope if you give that person a boost, they're not going to, you know, screw you and start attacking you after
that.
Well,
I mean, it's not even that I think there are a lot of instances where helping someone else is, you do so out of purely selfish reasons. So I don't really think you would see it as the other person would be really expected to reciprocate. Like the example Will gave, where you're only doing it to prolong the game so that you have a chance to win. Or you could even do it when you're winning. So if you could imagine a situation where you're winning, you have, say, 4 Pokemon left, one person has 3 and the other 2 have 1 Pokemon left, it would be in your best interest to keep both your and the other person with 3 Pokemon left alive, because you just want one of those other 2 to die so the game will end. So as opposed to trying to kill one of the singular ones, you could theoretically just try to protect. You could boost the other person's Pokemon so that one is less likely to die. So that would be another instance where it's helping someone else, but for purely selfish reasons. So I don't think that the other player would really be encouraged to reciprocate.
Yeah, and so what's really cool to me too is, hopefully they'll introduce some unique mechanics with like surf and like moves that are multi-position hit moves, so that maybe like it'll hit the guy to the left and the right of you, but not the one that's directly across. And also for like guarding moves that typically you would, like if it's wide guard and it would guard both members of the party, maybe it like will do like one side of the battlefield. And then you have to pick which side you want to apply it to, something like that. That'd be really cool.
Are you guys excited for this? Or
I think really cool.
We've seen new modes in the past: Horde mode, Triple Battle, Sky Battle, and, you know, I hate to be the one that says it, but not all of those have caught on.
No, I would say, correct. You know, out of those were no bueno, but Battle Royale is very good. Very excited for this.
Cool. All right.
I like things that have, based on a simple rule structure, lead to simple or complex, I guess. I just like things that have a rule structure that lead to, that have incentives that result in strange or unintuitive strategies that you wouldn't normally think of, like the ones we were talking about. Apparently there was this one soccer tournament league where to get into the finals, the tiebreaker was the average score by which you beat an opponent in that tournament. And so both teams wouldn't get to the finals unless they beat their opponent by 2 goals. Or no, one team was winning, but they go to the finals unless they won by two. So time was about to run out. So they kicked the ball in their own goal so that it would go to I don't know how soccer works. It would go for an extra round so that they could try have more time to get two goals.
That's kind of cool.
I love weird situations like that, and I think that the battle royale thing is an instance where that would be cool.
So yeah,
and
I believe
things like that would happen.
Just quickly, I believe the way that soccer goes is there are two halves. If you are tied at the end of the second half, you have a third half. If you are tied at the end of the third half, you just have a shootout.
The old soccer or football, as they call it in non-America.
Yeah, I'm probably
everywhere
people yell at me, aren't I?
The only problem I see with something as a battle royale, and you see this in any this is not exclusive to a Pokemon issue, but you run into the whole, you see this a lot in board games, or just in a lot of, I would say, yeah, just in a lot of board games where you have four people,
Tokyo.
You have four people all trying to win, but alliances get formed based off personal reasons or just maybe even Pokemon choices or just positioning. I mean, if you're the only water Pokemon and there's three grass Pokemon, you probably want to choose who you're battling, who you're going to attack first wisely. And they've mentioned this in the stream that like situations of that come up. But, you know, if I'm a water Pokemon and Travis is a grass Pokemon and Will and somebody else are grass Pokemon, I might want to be like, hey, Travis, you want to help me out for this round? Like, I won't attack. Like, the alliances get made and stuff like that happens. And that's whether that's personal or not, like, that's unpreventable.
Mm-hmm. I think that's cool.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I think that's cool because it's either, if it's a personal reason, that it's sort of a fun element when you're doing it with your friend. Like, as if you're playing with your friends, then a lot of those alliances end up being, let's gang up on Susan because she didn't pay for the pizza last time like she was supposed to. And
Susan,
you can make
never
a little
pays
fun
for the pizza.
Oh,
Susan is the worst.
And she's always bringing Raichu. No one likes Raichu. Wait, who has Young Goose? You're good. No Young Goose for life? I'm not attacking my boy Young Goose. Travis, I don't care if you attack me. You got that Young Goose? You're good. Young Goose for life.
But then what I think is even cooler is if you're playing, because I assume you can play this online with strangers. If you're playing online with strangers, like through the whatever system they would have for that.
The internet.
Those alliances, that's what it's called. Those alliances would be emergent, like based on the situation alliances, which you wouldn't really be able to communicate unless there's a probably rudimentary communication system. And I don't know, that type of interaction with a stranger can be cool too.
And my Young Goose skit isn't far off. If you love a certain Pokemon and your opponent is using it, you're probably going to be less likely to, you'll probably not attack it and attack something else.
Or you'll make it faint first so it doesn't have to suffer the stresses of battle.
That's true. That's true. A lot of options. The best part of the Battle Royale that kind of came full spark to life was that these trainers, they had different clothes on.
Woo.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not satisfied. If I cannot cut that shaggy long hair, I'm not going to play this game.
I think one of the female trainers had a different hairstyle than the starting trainer did in the beginning of the game, but the Nintendo Treehouse person that was kind of walking through this did ask the developers. They said, hey, we noticed the trainers have different clothes here. Is character customization coming back? And their response was, yeah, we can't talk about that.
What does that mean?
They like pretty much like nodded and said, yes, that's in there, but we're not talking about that. That was the one thing that I really wanted out of these games, as silly as that sounds. And some people, you know, that doesn't matter to them or whatnot. But character customization was a big thing to me in X and Y. And like to see that come back is just a big like sigh of like relief. It's like now I can definitely look forward to a feature I enjoy that is coming back. And Pokemon, those games are not, what's the word? Sometimes they just get rid of
ahead of the times.
Yeah, sometimes they just get rid of features that are really good features for no reason. And So
they have a reason. It's just not a reason that you can discern, sir.
Right. Yeah. That being said, there are some other tidbits here that wasn't reported in the press release that I have in front of me. So my apologies if I missed some. But one that stood out right away was that during battle, you can see, what's the word for that? Your status conditions. You can see if your Pokemon has like plus one to attack or minus two to accuracy. You can see that live on your Pokemon during battles.
Stat changes.
The other thing that seems to be new that they did spend some time showing off is if you forget exactly what a move does, there is a little question mark. I think you have to hold L and A to make it appear. Or you have to hold, it seemed like you had to hold some kind of button combination to make it appear. But regardless, if you forgot what Thunder Wave did, you can go and info it during battle to just verify that what it does, it's an electric type
move. Can you already do that?
Yeah, you can do that now.
Can you?
Not yeah, you just hold down the L bumper button and touch the move and it comes up with a description of the move.
Oh, I thought that was new because they did spend some time showing that off. And people
may have made it easier.
Okay, yeah, that might have been it. Because people were freaking out in the chat I was with that like this was, that seemed new to me. As you can tell, I haven't played a lot of Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Well, that's actually been around since
X and Y.
It's been around since Black and White, but a lot of people just like never even realize that because they don't read the instruction manual.
Definitely. I mean, guilty as charged. The other new thing that I know definitely is new is it will show you if the move is super effective or not super effective.
Kind of new, yeah.
So if you're...
I like that a lot.
They showed Populio has the move, is it Disarming Voice, I believe, which is a fairy-type move, and against a fire-type Pokemon, it showed that that move was super effective against the Litten. I think the Litten was an example. I could be off, but point still stands.
Wait.
You are off because a fairy-type move would not be super effective against a fire-type.
In fact, fire resists.
I got it mixed up. I believe it was Disarming Voice was not very effective, and then Water Gun was super effective. That was my mistake. Against the Litten.
Do you think Poplia is going to be a fairy?
No.
Okay.
I don't, because I strongly believe the Japanese assets that were inspected about a month ago, and also... like how many Pokemon get like Bite, which is a dark type move right off the bat or something like
true.
That. Or I think, what was it? What was the water type Pokemon?
Greninja?
Yeah, Froakie. Froakie got Lick, which was a ghost type move.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that really hits home to what you were saying earlier, Travis, that they keep making battling more and more complicated with more types. Or different moves or abilities that are the same but have different names. And this step right here that they took really pulls back the curtain and makes it a lot easier to digest.
I agree. I'm glad.
So that was very exciting. I don't think I'm ever going to be a person that will get into competitive battling or go down that. I've been down that road. I've seen the end. I didn't really enjoy it, but I definitely enjoy the casual battling going through and that is a great, great feature that I look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Especially for moves where things that they added last gen, like, or I think Freeze Dry was last gen, but like Freeze Dry and Flying Press, like these moves that their super effectiveness is confusing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Last thing out of this press release is in Pokemon Sun and Moon, there is a QR scanner function. Trainers will be able to catch the mythical Magearna by scanning a QR code, which is planned to be distributed in North America at a later date. More details will be followed. So Magearna coming to everyone. Run down the three new Pokemon, mentioned the super effectiveness. There's probably some other stuff I'm missing.
I'll give you three things that you missed.
All right, let's hear them.
Number one, the shadows that are under your Pokemon while they're battling change based on the time of day.
Okay.
Which is just absolutely amazing. Cool. The background scenery changes while you're battling. So if there are clouds in the background, they actually like scroll and change as they go by.
Gotta love that cloud scrolling.
Super wicked cool. And when you do like a eyes meet kind of battle encounter, there's the opponent does a little animated movement when they get into the battle, which is completely new, and it works so well.
Awesome.
It's so cool to give them a little more personality.
That made me think of some other things that right in your house at the beginning, there's a Meowth, just a Meowth hanging out in the house, probably your mom's or whoever lives there with you in the one bedroom house. There was a Ladybug on Route 1, and somebody was using a Pikachu or a Pichu at one point. I think, what was it, the rival that had a Pichu, if I'm not mistaken?
I didn't see that part.
Somebody was battling a Pichu. That just kind of confirms that we're along the lines of, this is not only new Pokemon like Black and White was. Mm-hmm. This we have a mix of older Pokemon that we're going to be seeing. And the other thing is, the trainers do appear in battle now. There was some speculation and some people saying that that was going to happen, but after seeing multiple battles of them going through the first part of the game, that your trainer does appear in battle, which is really cool. It's almost like, I don't even remember Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire that much, but that battle, the jump from Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire to Sun and Moon almost makes me feel like the battle itself is more along the lines of Pokemon Battle Revolution, where the camera is always kind of rotating, and I think that was a lot more in, like, if you watch competitive VGCs, you have that, but not in your general story mode. And I feel like I'm right. Like, when you're just versing a trainer in the story mode, the camera's not continually rotating like it is when you're versing another human.
In X and Y, it was, at least, because there was that meme when X and Y was coming out where it might have been Froakie, but there was some Pokemon it was Politoed, I think, and it zoomed into its face in a quick, like, three zoom thing, like the camera does in X and Y, and that became like a meme.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the camera does, like, move around and stuff.
When you're idle, when you're selecting moves, it does. Yeah.
Right.
It just seemed more smooth. More smooth, more of a 3D game. And so seeing that, it really kind of stuck out to me that we've gotten to a point. The biggest reason we don't have a Pokemon Stadium 3 or a Wii U battle game is because Game Freak or whoever, the higher ups at TCPI, have stated that the 3DS games do a good job of already doing what the Nintendo 64 or the GameCube or the Wii had to compensate back in the day. You just couldn't do 3D battles on, you know, a Game Boy. And that's why the Nintendo 64 and Pokemon Stadium did so well. It brought Pokemon into the 3D world, which has been going since X and Y. Yeah, Black and White was still Sprite. Black and White was still Sprite. And now we're to that point where in Sun and Moon, it looks good. The animation is smooth. Will mentioned the shadows. I love that the trainers are in battle, because, again, it makes it more about your experience, your Pokemon, your clothing choice. But to me, the moves still look like Nintendo 64 moves. And that's a little bit of a turnoff. Like, it's not the end of the world, but we've advanced from Sprite to 3D, and it's gotten so good. And then you just kind of see, like, a quick attack, and the Pokemon just slightly moves forward, and there's this little animation, and the receiving Pokemon just kind of moves back real quick.
So I would say hold your horses a little bit, because with my experience of Pokemon, when you're doing those lower level moves, you get the mini animations. And then when you move up and start getting the more intense, more powerful moves, you get more grandiose animation.
We've seen some pretty cool ones from Solgaleo and Lunala.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But even think, like, with, like, Seismic Toss, the animation for that, you literally see, like, the Pokemon flying away from the earth. And
yeah.
So don't judge it.
Draco Meteor is really cool.
Yeah. Don't judge it based on these early
moves.
These
are the early moves.
Not designed to be, because right, I think the real thought behind them is you're only going to use these moves as a beginning trainer, and once you actually start breeding and growing your Pokemon, these moves are going to be very quickly discarded. So why spend a lot of time animating these little ones that aren't going to be used too often, and let's spend our time animating the really important ones.
Right. Yeah.
It also provides for younger players a not specific, but visual way to tell what moves are stronger than others. Because a kid's not going to Well, some kids might, but most kids aren't going to look in the details to find out that how much stronger Body Slam is than Slam, right? But you can tell by the, like, this animation looks way cooler than that one, so it's probably the more powerful one. And in general, it is.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. I just want to see the jump from black and white to X and Y was huge in the aspect of how the battle looks. And I think that Sun and Moon has smoothed that out, kind of taken it to the next level. From what we've seen, the battle animations is almost on the should be on the to-do list of what can we improve in the future.
I agree.
All right, we could be missing something from the Nintendo Treehouse Live. It was a crazy morning. I think what they showed was extremely satisfying. We have still all summer to expect more Pokemon news. The last bit of news here before we jump to our Pokemon of the Week is the next day, on Wednesday morning, they talked about Pokemon Go. We won't have to wait long for Pokemon Go, because they did state that the Pokemon Go Plus, the accessory, will be available at the end of July. And then they stated that they should probably have the game out before the accessory, so expect the game in July. So no dates exactly, but we're looking at next month. And the biggest question then was, well, how much does Pokemon Go Plus cost? And that came back as $35 for the 2016 Pokewalker. From my opinion and what I saw, Pokemon Go is exactly what I've expected and exactly what I've been talking about on the show. So I wasn't really surprised in any aspect, but I don't know if you guys caught this or watched any of that Nintendo Treehouse.
No, I missed that one completely. I did see some people's feedback that they thought that $35 was too much for the Pokewalker, but that's a Bluetooth-enabled device. Whatever it's called.
It was weird calling it the Pokemon Go Plus.
Yeah.
So I think just for purposes, we can call it the Pokewalker. I don't think anyone's referring to HeartGold SoulSilver anymore.
Yeah, but the base thing here, and you know, I hate to always... No, I don't. I love being the adult all the time. It is a Bluetooth-enabled device, and...
With a motor, because it vibrates.
I don't care about the motor.
I'm just saying it has a motor in it.
And have fun with that. There are licensing fees to use Bluetooth technology, and... There are some parameters that had to be programmed in to support Bluetooth connectivity with a variety of different mobile devices so it can be cross-platform. And that has cost to it.
Yep.
So even though the plastic and the chintzy motor might not be that expensive, the licensing that goes in to actually enable this technology to function at all is expensive. And that has to be recovered by... taking money from your wallet, because you know you're going to buy that $35.
Yeah. Well, I have pre-ordered mine this morning. And I wanted to talk about the price, because I did see that a lot. Prior to the conference, a lot of people speculated that this device would be $19.99. And that's actually what I thought, too. They came out saying it's $34.99. It will be you can buy it in the Pokemon Go app. There will be a button to buy it, depending on, you know, if you live in America, it will direct you probably to store.nintendo.com or Amazon or Target. They said it will be also available in select retail stores. Again, I'm assuming Target, because Nintendo seems to have a pretty good relationship with Target. I'm assuming GameStop. And then we get to the price, $35. And right away, a lot of people are like, too expensive, too expensive. And it's hard to put a price on anything game related. You have games like Destiny, which are $60 that, you know, some people put 4 hours into it. Some people put, like me, over 1,000 hours into it. And so I feel like I got well more than $60. You look at games like Gone Home, which are $20, which are only 2 hours long. And some people think Gone Home was a masterpiece, that it was brilliant, that it was worth every penny. Some people don't even think...
people are right.
Some people don't. Amazing. Gone Home is absolutely amazing. It's free on PlayStation Plus right now, just for your PlayStation 4 users. Some people think Gone Home isn't even a game and should be free. So there are... tons of debate of what things could cost. Now, you look at Pokemon Sun and Moon, that is a $39.95 game. And you look at the Pokemon Go Plus Pokewalker, and that is $35, almost as much as a main series game. And I'm not saying it should be, I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but I normally put 80 to 100 hours into a Pokemon game. And I know for sure that I've put, and I pay $40 for a Pokemon game. You look at a game like Clash Royale, which unfortunately I'm still playing and I hate myself for it, but I've put over 100 hours into Clash Royale and I've put $5 into that game. And again, like I could put $60 in an Uncharted game and that's 7 or 8 hours. So no one's holding a gun to anyone's head and saying, for this free game, you need to buy a $30 accessory, because you don't. You don't have to buy it. It is they have stated time and time again that this is just an accessory. But as for the price, I think it's appropriate. You look at something like the original PokeWalker that had an internal battery, a watch battery. It was a piece of plastic. Yes, it came free with HeartGold SoulSilver. But if you wanted to buy it on your own, it was $9.95. You could get it from store.nintendo.com. You're looking at a piece of plastic with the infrared, I believe, was in it for communication purposes. It had a pedometer built in, which, again, not that expensive. And it had a black and white, very Tamagotchi screen. That technology was invented back in 1990. Remember Tamagotchis came out?
About 97, 98.
Yeah, so, you know, $10. I'm sure that they ate the cost on that. Obviously, they made their money straight from selling hard copies of HeartGold SoulSilver. But I have to 100% agree with Will. You're looking at the Pokemon Go Plus. We don't know if there's a watch battery in that or not. I thought they said that there was a charging point. So if it's micro USB or mini USB or however you charge it, you got to pay a licensing fee on that. Bluetooth technology, you got to pay a licensing fee on that. There's a motor in it because it vibrates. That's you could put that on the same level as maybe a pedometer. And you have an LED light. Constant communication. Again, we don't know. I don't know if that's a watch battery or not, how often we have to charge that. But again, if the game is free, so for them to say, hey, this might be a little more expensive than you predicted, you don't have to buy it. But if you like the game, just like if you like Pokemon Sun and Moon, you're going to pay $40 for that. If you like Pokemon Go as much as you like Sun and Moon or more, that's really not a lot of change.
Does getting the Pokemon Go Plus make it so that you don't have to pay the microtransactions within the game?
I don't think so. They didn't talk about the microtransactions. If they did, I missed it. But the specifics of Pokemon Go Plus is that if there's a Pokemon nearby, the Pokemon Go Plus will start vibrating to let you know. And if you don't want to go into your app to catch it, the Pokemon Go Plus will attempt to catch it for you.
Gotcha.
And it will light up a rainbow color. And if it's successful, it will be a solid green. And if it's not successful, it will be a red.
Cool.
And I think they said that the Pokemon Go Plus is not as good as catching Pokemon as you would be. I mean, if you're 100% into Pokemon Go and you need to catch a lot of the same Pokemon to level them up, they've already discussed that. It might be nice not to pull out your phone every 10 minutes to catch Pokemon and just, you know, as you're walking through Target, just let the Pokemon Go Plus handle that Rattata that you've caught for the 100th time. Just, you know, let it catch number 101. Let it catch 102.
You can play your video games when you don't have the time to play your video games.
Yes, there is, to me and to a lot of other people, there is value in something saving you time.
Oh, I totally get it. I have really no valid or valuable opinion on any of this because I don't and will not have a smartphone, but I understand why someone would buy this thing, theoretically.
Yes, and speaking of buying it, it was available on Amazon this morning. It was actually the number one best-selling item on Amazon in the video game section. And it's funny because prior to this podcast, and actually right after I pre-ordered the Pokemon Go Plus, somebody tweeted at the Pokemon podcast account and was like, whoever buys that is crazy, because they were under the viewpoint that it was overpriced. But the Pokemon Go Plus is currently sold out on Amazon.
Oh, I didn't get mine.
So I think they knew what audience was going to buy this, and clearly that audience, like me, didn't care about the price. Will, if you didn't get it, I would keep your eyes peeled, because Amazon usually does two SKUs. They usually put up a certain amount that sells out, and then they wait like a couple days, and then they put up the, you know, round two, depending on how many they're getting shipped.
Well, somebody else keep their eyes peeled and hit me up when...
All right. I will let you know But yeah, that is the Pokemon Go Plus supposed to come out at the end of July. Pokemon Go a little bit before that is what they state. I'm actually really excited because that'll be right before I go to Gen Con, which will be nice because hopefully there are different Pokemon in Indiana than there are in Wisconsin. And maybe if there's different Pokemon in Michigan, I'll stop by and say hi to Travis and catch like a Weedle and get out of there.
Wait, I can't imagine what kind of boring Pokemon would live in Indiana.
Vanillox. Do you
get
have to drive
out,
through?
The...
Do you have to drive through Illinois to get to Indiana?
I do. Yeah. So the, maybe.
Well, maybe there's different Pokemon there too.
You know, some Trubbish or something, because Illinois is real trash.
Whoa,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We do know that. There will only be Pokemon from Red and Blue. They kept saying this over and over. Red and Blue. Pokemon from Red and Blue. I don't know why they just didn't say Gen 1. There will be Pokemon only from Red and Blue when the game first launched. That is actually something that I've been preaching for a while and has come true, that you want to appeal to people who don't play Pokemon, which obviously Pokemon Go is. That I feel like that's the main drive here, is bring back those Gen 1ers. Get them to play Pokemon Go. Get them to buy Sun and Moon. They did say that they wanted to add the rest of the They wanted to get to the point where the entire Pokedex is there. But we're only getting... Come July, we're only getting Gen 1. So...
You brought up that they kept saying Red and Blue and not Gen 1. And that made me think, has any official, whether it be Nintendo or the Pokemon Company or Game Freak, ever referred to... And I hadn't even thought of this before you said it. Have they ever referred to their games as... generation 1, generation 2, etc., or is that just a fan thing?
I don't know. I mean, when they showed Sun and Moon, they did say new generation, did they not?
Because I think they do use the generation term,
but I don't think they do
the numbered thing like fans do, because
I just think somebody's gonna have to research that, because I can't recall at all.
Because I think they would probably want to stay on brand and say the title of the game.
Right. Yeah.
Especially, I mean, even in this case, like, those games are available on the eShop for you to buy. So, of course, they want to say Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, that makes sense in a marketing aspect. Also, if you're a Gen 1er, you don't say, I only like... There are exceptions to that, but you don't say, I only like Generation 1. You usually say, I only like... Oh, I almost always hear, I only like the first 150.
Yeah, that's what people say.
They never refer to it as Generation 1. It's only us elite podcasters and audience that refer to Generation 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pokemon Go is still exactly what I expect. I think, you know, even if the game to me is not enjoyable, the Pokemon Go Plus looks cool as a... It just looks cool as a device. And I always... I like accessories. I like gadgets. So...
That is true.
Something there. Also, when I wore my PokeWalker, for several years, and when I worked in retail, and I had my PokeWalker on, and I didn't hide it under my shirt or in my pocket, and like my PokeWalker was, you know, on my pocket, could be seen. It was always fantastic when somebody was like, "Oh, that's a PokeWalker. This is my favorite Pokemon. Blah blah blah. What are you playing right now? This is what I'm like." That interaction was always worth wearing the PokeWalker alone.
So you're saying the PokeWalker invited people to come and talk to you?
About Pokemon. 100%. It was...
No, thank you.
And, you know, sometimes those conversations are good. Sometimes you're like, oh, my phone's ringing. I gotta take this. Have a good one, man. Yeah, Buizel's cool.
Hey, don't harsh on Buizel. I know several people where, like, Buizel is their number one favorite Pokemon, so I am not touching that dude.
But let me tell you, Pokemon Go Plus, your $35 conversation starter, available now on Amazon. Sold out.
Not available on Amazon.
But yeah, that was Pokemon at E3. That was its presence. That was the news. And everything up to that point. So let's wrap this up here. We got a Pokemon of the Week. Travis hopefully has moveset by now.
Yeah, I gotcha.
This week's Pokemon of the Week, to celebrate all Route 1 bird Pokemon, would be Pidgey, but we're doing its evolution, Pidgeot, which I don't think we've done.
Well, we certainly haven't done since it got a Mega Evolution.
That's true.
Mega
Pidgeot, is real cool looking, I think. Pidgeot is your bird Pokemon, number 18 in the Pokedex. Evolves from Pidgeotto at level 36. Obviously, Pidgeotto evolving from Pidgey, 50% male, 50% female. Pidgeot grows noticeably when it mega evolves with a larger body and longer, broader wings. Its wingtips and tail feathers are tipped with blue, and its cream color is now a white. Its eyes turn red and its pupils turn white. Mega Pidgeot has an even more elaborate crest on its head with streamer-like red plume extending from the mane of its yellow feathers. A red feather projects from the center of its crest, and there is a single red highlight on the left side. The crest is sensitive to air currents, acting like a large antenna and stabilizing Mega Pidgeot's flight. Additionally, its increased wing power allows it to produce a gust capable of destroying huge trees. My kind of bird. Knows keen eyes, tangled feet, big pecs. Mega Pidgeot ability is no guard. So Travis, during a battle, are we evolving or not evolving into Mega Pidgeot?
I built a Mega Pidgeot set, so we are evolving.
We are going the distance.
Should I dive into it?
Bird pun? Yes.
I didn't think that was a bird. I guess it is. Birds can dive. We're flying on in to the danger zone because this is a Kenny Loggins song. Mega Pidgeot has really good speed and special attack, and you know what happens when you've got good stats on those? You put a bunch of damaging moves and you try to knock things out. So that's what we're gonna do. More importantly though, Mega Pidgeot has a very cool ability called No Guard, which you might know from the Pokemon Machamp, where a Pokemon with No Guard has 100% accuracy on all of the moves it uses and on moves that are used against it. So if your opponent has Thunder, for example, Thunder will always hit.
Dang.
If you have, in this case, Hurricane will always hit, which is really cool.
Hurricane is 70% accuracy for our listeners.
Right. And it's generally an advantage for you because you built this Pokemon around it. They did not build their Pokemon. They're not going to have Dynamic Punch. I mean, you might. Dynamic Punch is a generally good move, but you're less likely to just have a Pokemon with a bunch of moves with low accuracy than your Mega Pidgeot is because you're building it for that. While Pidgeot has a lot of good moves, its move pool isn't that deep, so the set I'm going to give you isn't super creative, but it'll do the job. And there are some cool moves. Like I said, you're going to be able to run Hurricane and not have to worry about its accuracy. Heat Wave, which is a move tutor move in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, gives you some type coverage. Most of your other moves from either TMs or breeding or are physical, which you're not going to want to do because Mega Pidgeot's special attack is so high. And then a lot of the special attack things you learn by level up don't have very high base power. So that's why we're going to a move tutor move there. It actually has access to U-Turn, which although is a physical move, U-Turn is one of the best moves in the game because you can get a little bit of a chip damage in and switch on the same turn. Also, depending on which is probably not going to be the case with Mega Pidgeot because it's so fast, but sometimes if you want the Pokemon you have out to take the hit as opposed to the Pokemon to which you are switching, your Pokemon is slower, you would rather use U-Turn to switch than switch out because your opponent attacks first, then you U-Turn, so then you get a free switch in. But that's getting way too detailed. So we're going to do Hurricane, Heat Wave, U-Turn, and then to round out the set, we'll do Roost, just so that you have a little sustainability there. Your item is already Pidgeotite. Some of those are hard to say.
Tough word to say.
Your nature is going to be Timid, and your EV spread is going to be 252 in special attack and speed. The recommendation I'm seeing here is to plop that 4 in defense. So do that.
If you weren't just off the top of your brain, if you weren't going to evolve into Pidgeot, what's the preferred ability? What is your normal Pidgeot preferred ability?
Big Pecs, probably, which is the one where your defense can't be lowered. It's not going to come into play a lot, but it's better than Keen Eye because, well, it depends. No, no one's going to lower your accuracy. So Keen Eye is something you're not really going to choose.
No.
And then tangled feet is bad. So don't do that one. So, I mean, they're all bad, but Big Packs is the least bad.
All right. Some trivia here. Pidgeot originally had an extra T in its name, but it was dropped. Pidgeot is depicted with a red and yellow tail feathers in the official Generation artwork. And while Generation 3 artwork only displays red ones, when rebattling gym leaders in HeartGold SoulSilver, both Faulkner and Blue both have Pidgeot as their highest level Pokemon. Coincidentally, Faulkner is the first gym leader while Blue is the last. Otherwise, Mega Pidgeot is tied with Porygon Z for the highest special attack base stat of all normal type Pokemon. Pidgeot was also very popular in Twitch Plays Pokemon.
That is true.
That is true. Pidgeot's real cool.
Remember when we had the thing where he would yell it really loud and that was like a joke?
Yeah, here, let me back. I'll try it. I'm back away from my microphone. I won't blow out anyone's ears. Nah, I still spiked my levels. Good. People really?
Because it didn't sound too, I guess.
Yeah, locally. People really like that. So
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
And, I was one of them. I was a listener to the show at that point. And man, that was really funny. I don't know why. Because it's not. It's not to me now. It's just a person yelling a thing. Like, sure, that's kind of what Pidgeot sounds like in the anime. But I don't like impressions. Those aren't funny.
I think it's funny.
But it was the fun in whatever year that was. I was probably like a sophomore in high school. That was the funniest thing I had ever heard.
We never talked about this on the podcast, but it was funny because I found Travis's emails prior to him being on the show of him being a fan.
Oh no.
And they were really cute.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
They were something.
Oh no.
I flagged them and I feel like we should share them with our Slack community.
Well, I think it's only
as long
fair
as you show them to me first so that I know what I'm getting myself into.
Disagree. We haven't done listener email in such a long time. I think it's time
to
keep in that mailbag and let's do some listener email I have something to respond to.
Put Travis on the spot, especially after last week's slip up. Well, that is something for the future, but that I think has been our show for you guys. And I think it was a good one. I think we try to be positive here on It's Super Effective. We have a reputation of being people.
We're honest.
We're honest. That is a good word to describe our show. I think it's safe to say, though, that we are going into the summer. We are going into Sun and Moon territory, all pretty excited.
Yeah, this game looks tight.
It looks real good.
Real tight.
Will is at Wash in the Sink. Travis is at the Travis W. I am at Dragging a Lake. If you want to follow Pokemon Podcast on Twitter, it is at Pokemon Podcast. We will be at Gen Con. If you want to see us at Gen Con, we have a free event on Friday night at 6 p.m. I don't know what that entails, but it is free. Otherwise, support us on Patreon. If you enjoy what you're listening to, join us in the Slack community. It is a lot of fun. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super Freud Goose.
What a dirty dog. That's right, it's back.
Oh, God, it never left.